Good morning. It's great to see you all today. Let us stand as we're able, in body or spirit, and call ourselves into an attitude of praise, thanksgiving, and prayer. We have gathered in God's holy presence, the one who etches grace on our hearts.
This is the place where God will transform us into disciples.
We glorify God, who yearns for justice, not just for a favored few, but for the least of our world.
This is the place where God will write compassion on our souls.
We give thanks to God for unceasing grace. We remember God's persistence in saving us.
This is the place where God will breathe the word into our lives.
Please join us in singing the hymn, Wonderful Words of Life, which can be found in the handout in your bulletin. Also, please keep that handout and save that on the table back there. Thank you. The proof of God's amazing love is this. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. Because we have faith in him, we dare to approach God with confidence. In faith and penitence, let us confess our sins before God and one another. Your words are given to us, author of life, so we might be reformed, but we are intent on changing others. Your words are offered to us so we might be transformed, but we are focused on conforming to our culture. Your words are spoken to lead us into new life, but we hold our ways tight to our chest. Forgive us, God of wonder. Do not remember our sins, but continue to touch us with your steadfast mercy. Show us how to be persistent in living out our faith, even as you were so tenacious, offering us your grace in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Jesus reminds us that we are able to be resolute in our lives and our faithfulness and service. The good news is that God is steadfast in fulfilling us with love and grace. We are forgiven people. May we live as sisters and brothers in Christ, God's children in word and deed, hope and joy. Thanks be to God. Amen. When hope and joy unite, our hearts are filled with a peace that passes understanding. Therefore, let us share that peace with one another with a wave or a nod. May the peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
You may be seated. Please bow your heads for a minute of prayer. Guide us, O God, by your word and Holy Spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find freedom, and in you, in your will discover peace, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Today's gospel reading comes from Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. It can be found on page 81 in your red pew Bible. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, "In a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city, there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, 'Grant me justice against my opponent.' For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, 'Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" This is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Our second reading today comes to us from the prophet Jeremiah. Prophets are often maligned because they speak for God in ways that we do not want to hear. But I invite you to listen carefully now as the prophet Jeremiah, still speaking for God, preaches a new word from chapter 31, beginning at verse 27. "The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of humans and the seed of animals. And just as I have watched over them to pluck up and break down, to overthrow, destroy, and bring evil, so I will watch over them to build and to plant, says the Lord. In those days they shall no longer say, 'The parents have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge.' But all shall die for their own sins. The teeth of everyone who eats sour grapes shall be set on edge. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, 'Know the Lord,' for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Once upon a time, don't you love it when it starts once upon a time? There was a little boy who very much wanted to play baseball. Sound familiar, Aaron? He loved watching the game and dreamed of being a major league star someday. So he decided to practice every day so he could make his dream come true. The thing is, unlike Aaron, this little boy wasn't very good at hitting the ball. You'd see him out there on the sand lot, throwing the ball into the air and taking a big old swing as it fell to earth. And usually it hit the ground, not the bat. But he kept at it. Other boys would walk by the lot and laugh at him, tell him he was a loser, you know, big L. Once or twice they even threw rocks at him. Kids, you know. He felt sad and all alone. Did anybody care? That boy needed some TLC, some comfort. And down the street, a teenage girl also needed comfort. She'd been hit by the man that had moved in with her mom. Her mother wasn't very interested when the girl cried for help. Next thing you knew, she was acting out at school and started to swipe little things from the Dollar General store in town. She needed someone to lay down rules and keep her accountable. And she needed someone to believe her about the abusive man and comfort her. Both of these kids were hurting. And the teen was traveling a rocky road that would come to no good.
Both these children are like ancient Israelites who'd gotten weary of all the traveling to the Holy Land, weary of being ruled by inept or even destructive kings. They'd acted out and turned from the rules that God had given Moses for them. They were traveling a rocky road that led to no good. Over the generations, their homeland had been invaded 3 times. The last by the Babylonians, who then marched them off, well, at least the best and brightest of them, to their capital 500 miles away. No matter where they live now, Babylon, Judah, or Israel, all these people felt sad, alone. No one seemed to care, not even God. Now God called Jeremiah to speak to the people, speak of God's activities and concerns about them. And over the 52 chapters of the book that we just read from, Jeremiah has told God's children how God is digging them up, pulling them down, destroying and demolishing them, and building them back up, planting them anew. What we read today speaks to those last two concepts, building and planting anew. Jeremiah had often spoken of harsh things to this people, but now he is speaking words that comfort. In fact, chapters 30 to 33 are called the Little Book of Comfort, and they are filled with words that speak of restoration growing out of the devastation and hardships that they had lived with for nearly 70 years. Makes COVID seem like a walk in the park. 2.5 years? 70 years? Well, God seems to be granting this war-torn and exiled community a future where none seems possible. Speaking through the prophet's mouth, God begins telling the people that the days are surely coming. And while no exact date is given, God seems to be showing them light at the end of the tunnel. Hope. But God continues to remind them of their past, too. God has judged the people for the ways in which they've turned away from God. And God has plucked them up and overthrown them because God was still very much present, still is very much present, and very much in charge. After all, God is all-powerful. So, what God is about to say must have come as quite a surprise to these exiles. God said, "I will make a new covenant with you." God had held the Judeans and the Israelites accountable for their awful, unfaithful behaviors, and yet God still intends for them to be God's people. God still wants to be in relationship with them. God wants them to know that God is trustworthy. Now, this new covenant is very much like the very first covenant that was made with Abraham, in that God initiated it. Both are structured by God, and while they include the people, God is saying that this covenant goes into effect whether or not they believe it or like it. Quite frankly, I'm not sure if I'm thankful for that, or perhaps afraid of how things might go down for me down the line. And yet, did you notice that there is no demand for repentance from the people before or after this covenant goes into effect? God knows them and still wants them to be part of God's life. God has even forgiven them for their bad actions. Huh. Forgiveness. Forgiveness and hope. God's initial covenant with Adam was that if the man cared for the garden and avoided eating the fruit of the tree of life, he would be blessed, right? But eating of that tree's fruit would result in death. And yet, when it came down to it, God didn't execute Adam for his misdeed. He exiled the man from the garden. And later, God promised Noah to never again destroy humanity by a flood. Abraham was told that if he followed God, nations would rise up from his offspring. And God then promised Moses that if he followed, the Hebrew people would be returned to their homeland, which God had first given Father Abraham. Over and over again, God covenants. God makes promises to this wayward, errant, and stiff-necked people in spite of their actions. With each covenant, we see God's trustworthiness. God has created them in love, and like a good parent, has given them boundaries within which to live and punishments for when they fail to live up to the standards set for them, standards which separate them from other people as holy unto God. And once the people feel the pain of that punishment, God hopes they will be more able to behave themselves and again covenants with them for a future bright with hope. The days are surely coming. In addition, this time, God tells them that instead of punishing them for the sins of their ancestors, in the future, they will be judged on their individual merits. That's what that sour grapes thing, teeth on edge, is all about. This is a major shift from the past. God's not going to judge your children for your actions. You're not judged for your parents' actions. Now, God's going to come closer to each and every one of these people to observe and guide and encourage and comfort when necessary, even redirect their behaviors. This concept suggests a much more intimate relationship than in the past. God's law will remain in force, but now it is not to be understood as rules against things, but more to help us honor one another, respect one another, care for one another. Said I had a hard week. I had to go to court this week. My former tenant up north, 3 hours away, was suing me because I had not followed the letter of the law and returned her security deposit to her within 30 days of her move out. As an individual homeowner and not a rental company, I was not aware of that law. But that is no excuse. The point of the law is that tenants are people too and deserve to be respected and honored even when we disagree with how well they cared for our property. Communicating with each other is a way of showing respect and develops trust. Now, it took me 2.5 months to obtain the repair estimates, just how it was. But then I immediately sent her a list of what I believe she needed to cover from her deposit. But since I wasn't doing that within the time limits of the law, in the eyes of the law, I had dishonored her, trust was broken. The point of the law is that we need to communicate with one another so we know what to expect and why. The law is there to help us be in relationship with each other, to care for one another, like it or not. Jeremiah tells us here that God intends that kind of personal, interactive relationship with the people. God simply wants the children to follow the law as a way of keeping the faith with each other and with God. And amazingly, God is so intent on being a real presence in their lives that God has, once again, forgiven them for turning away and is now writing the law, this promise, this covenant, in each one of every member of the Hebrew people's hearts. There is no way to be closer with their Creator than for God to become embedded within their beings, all of their beings. We've heard that the Holy Spirit breathes the breath of life into us. So isn't writing in our hearts just as intimate, just as life-giving as being filled with God's holy breath? What could ever draw human beings closer than this? The depth of care, concern, comfort, and love that God is offering the Hebrews offers a true sense of overwhelming hope for the future. The people of Judah and Israel no longer need to feel like that little boy in the sandlot or the teenage girl who acted out her pain. They no longer need to feel sad, mistreated, or all alone. For like a good parent, God has forgiven them, is comforting them, and is promising them hope for their future. God is building anew. God is trustworthy. Okay, so that's real nice for the ancient Hebrews and for the children in my stories. But what about us here in this time and place? How does this all apply to us? How can these words help us in our ongoing relationship with God? Trusting that God is truly building us anew is a difficult challenge. Heck, our everyday lives are tough enough, let alone those nasty words being slung around by politicians and others, and the high price of gas and food. We don't know what's going to explode around us next. We need to trust our Lord, especially in difficult times. So how can we breathe in that sense of holy hope and live into the law in ways that express our faithfulness to each other and especially to God? These are big questions for us as individuals, like those dominoes, and as church together when we were taped up. But if we can find ways to fulfill God's hope for us, I believe our trust in God's goodness will grow and we'll sense the hope God is offering. So, do you all have that little orange square of paper? Did you all get one? I want you to take that and take a minute and write down something you can do to develop your relationship with God and with other people, something that will help you grow in faith. And then next, write something that this congregation can actively do to express our faithfulness to each other and God. Go ahead, take a minute, Think about it. Write something down. And if you don't have an orange square, you can write it on your bulletin. What can you do to develop your relationship with God and others? What can the congregation do to express our faithfulness to each other and God? As you leave today at the end of the service, I invite you to drop your words into the little church as a faith offering to God. This too might help you feel closer to God. You're making a commitment. You're sending up a prayer. And God will hear you. And God will comfort you. May we all find comfort in the love of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the breath of the Holy Spirit who draws us together in faith and hope so we can do whatever lies ahead in love. Amen.
Please stand and join me in singing hymn number 316, Breathe on Me, Breath of God.
Will you please remain standing as you're able and declare your belief with me? The church responds to the message of reconciliation in praise and prayer. In that response, it commits itself afresh to its mission, experiences a deepening of faith and obedience, and bears open testimony to the gospel. Adoration of God is acknowledgement of the Creator by the creation. Confession of sin is admission of every person's guilt before God and of their need for God's forgiveness. Thanksgiving is rejoicing in God's goodness to all people and in giving for the needs of others. Petitions and intercessions are addressed to God for the continuation of divine goodness, the healing of men's ills, and their deliverance from every form of oppression. The arts, especially music and architecture, contribute to the praise and prayer of a Christian congregation when they help men to look beyond themselves to God and to the world, which is the object of God's love.
Join our hearts in prayer. Oh, glorious God, the rivers reflect and illumine your glory, while crows and birds shout with praise. Even the steely grays of clouds rolling in exhibit your power and majesty. Such things amaze us, but so do the simple joys of sharing meals and quiet evenings with family and friends. O Lord, for all of these gifts and so much more, we thank you and bless your holy name. Now, as bold children who are weary and sad, we lift our concerns up to you this day. We pray for the world, our hunger for more and more of all things has created unwanted side effects. Too much trash overflows our bins and cannot even be recycled. Oh, the plastic that harms the birds, the fish, destroys the earth in its ugliness. Too much air pollution from gas-powered engines, and yet so many questions about how much pollution is being created by the plants that supply energy to power the electronic vehicles that, through your wisdom, you have caused to be invented. Oh, help us, dear Lord. Help us find ways to be good stewards of your earth. We pray for the nations of the world, and we ask that you write your law in the hearts of all leaders, especially those who oppress their countrymen or who monger fear or cause war on other peoples. Guide these leaders to provide for their people safely and fairly, and bring the people closer to your side. Write your law in their hearts so that they might come to know you and love one another as you would have us do. O Lord, we pray for the church, your body on earth. Cause it to be an instrument of your peace. Cause us to walk forth in joy and harmony so that others may learn from us of your love. We especially pray for Central Church here in town, for the Fellowship of Christ's Communion, which meets in their facility, for the Alliance Church, and for the College Drive Church. Give their people the strength and the love to live as you would have them live. We pray for the hungry, those who are going to be fed by the bounty of the Super Bowl today. We pray for those whose water has been shut off. We pray for kids whose mental health has been threatened through bullying or abuse. Indeed, we pray for the mental health of all people. When things are tough and deplete our souls, it feels so easy to give up. And yet you have plans for us, just as you have plans for these children. So we ask that you surround them, surround us in your love, and show us the way through the maze that depletes our souls. We pray for the elderly in nursing homes and for families who grieve separation. We pray for life, for health. We pray and ask you for hope. Oh Lord, you have provided for our every need. So we offer these prayers up to you with thanksgiving, honor, and praise for your holy name. You have gathered us like chicks under your wing. You have protected us. You have shown us the way to walk in life through Jesus the Christ, your Son, who taught us how to grow closer to you by praying to you, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Please stand and join me in singing number 403, What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
since Adam and Noah and Moses and Abraham and especially Jesus, God has been showing us how much love God has for us. God has comforted us when we have been in pain, but at the same time, God's reprimanded us and shown us redirecting our behavior on how to do better. God has earned our trust. Not that God ever had to earn our trust. God is trust. God is love. And God is there with each and every one of us, every day of our lives. Take it to Him in prayer when you are worried. Take it to God in prayer when you're challenged. Allow God to write in your heart. Allow God to love you and comfort you and give you hope. For God is with you always. Go out and share this good news with everyone you meet. Go with the love of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the community that is the Holy Spirit and draws us not just together, but closer to God each and every day. Amen.